Hello and welcome to episode number 88 of Solo BG Podcast. We are getting closer to that episode number 100, and it's going to be a very special one, or probably the last five, which is going to be 95, 96, 97, 98, 99, 100. We're going to try to make some special episodes, so stay tuned for that. And if this is your first time in the podcast, like always, I welcome you. And this is a podcast where we talk about solo and cooperative board games, but once in a while, we also talk about non-solo games, games that can only be played like the good old days, mainly competitive. So sometimes we talk about that. Sometimes we have Kickstarter's previews or Kickstarter exclusive reviews and those kind of things. Everything involved in this amazing hobby, which is board games. And for today's or tonight or this evening episodes, depending on where you are, the time zone that you're listening, or depending on what you're doing, because, you know, some people like to exercise very early in the morning, some people work at night, depending on what you're doing, well, I welcome you, first of all. And this episode is going to be a very special one, because, I usually focus my content on, you know, trying to bring either Kickstarter previews or very epic solo and cooperative board games. Sometimes I bring also some big Euro games. But this episode is going to be different, though, because I'm going to talk, which I will open quotes, apparently, I will close quotes, a family game. But you will be surprised with my thoughts. And we're going to talk about Toy Story, Obstacles and Adventures, a cooperative deck building game. Now, big disclosure here. Our good friends from the OP or USAopoly, they sent a copy of the game completely free shipping, everything to me, just to have the opportunity to play it and share my thoughts with you. And of course, like every episode, we're going to talk about the box and cover. I'm going to talk to you about the art, the size of the box. Then we're going to do the audio unboxing, where is when I'm going to talk about the components, what do we find inside the game. Then we're going to talk about the gameplay. And then finally, I'm going to share my thoughts with you. So if you're ready for that, please stay for this episode. Also, I want to share with you, like I do in every episode, the way that you can support the show. One, the most important one, you can go and get some games for you at great prices at kickstartedgames.com. That's it, kickstarted with edgames.com. And over there, you can see a huge variety of games. Some of them, they were Kickstarter exclusive. And you can get a copy for yourself. And if you spend $100 or more, you get free shipping on the US. If you use the code SOLOBG, all together, SOLOBG, you get 15% off from your total purchase. So, you know, with that, you can get some cool games for yourself. And, you know, with the discount and free shipping and all of those things. And another way that you can support the show, of course, it's subscribing if you're listening through iTunes or Spotify. And if you're listening through iTunes, please give us a review over there with the stars, because that really helps to keep going with the show. Also, if you can write a comment, that's fantastic. Highly appreciate it. And as well, if you can follow us in our social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, at SoloBG Podcast. Those are the only ways that you can support the show. I don't have a Patreon right now. I don't have anything like that. So please, these are the completely free, I guess, ways that you can support the show. And also, it's always a good idea, as I'm talking about a game, that I usually already post pictures of the game on the Instagram or Twitter or Facebook, because they all are connected. So if you want to jump into there and look at the pictures of what I'm talking about, that will be great as well. In that way, you get an audio-visual experience, but without having to go to watch, 15, 20 minutes YouTube video. And in that way, you can, you know, keep exercising, keep jogging, and just like watch your phone really quick. So there you go. So with that being said, please stay with me for this adventure of Toy Story, Obstacles and Adventures, a cooperative deck building games, like always. Like, deck building game is only one. Well, you will have several games in the box. I will tell you more about it. Like always, let's start in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Solo BG, your podcast for solo and cooperative board games. Here you will find everything you need to know about your favorite and most recent games. Art, rules, gameplays, and interviews. Here is your host, Derek Rodriguez.
Okay, so we are ready to officially start episode number 88, and we are gonna talk about Toy Story Obstacles and Adventures, a cooperative deck building game published by the OP or USAopoly. And it's, well, I'm gonna tell you more about it in a little bit. Let me talk to you and tell you and share with you what I've been playing most recently since the last episode. Well, most recently, I actually brought a game to the table that I'm looking forward to do an episode about it very soon as well. Hopefully, you know, in the next couple of weeks. And I'm talking about Overboss. Overboss, it's a game that I kickstarted myself, and I got the deluxe edition with the dice tower. It's a game published by Brotherwise Games. And, you know, this game, it made a lot of fuss on the Kickstarter campaign. But then suddenly, I haven't heard too much about it or seen too much about it on the Facebook groups or Instagram or Twitter. And I've been playing the game. It's a tile-placing game that falls in the, what is it called? The Boss Monster universe as well from Brotherwise. Brotherwise, it's, you know, a company that is getting bigger every time, which each game that they release, they are also the same publisher from that made On Earth, also with the solo expansion mode, I guess. They also made Call to Adventures and all the expansions, of course, Boss Monsters and all the universe of Boss Monster, which is huge, and I know it has a lot of fans out there. But we were craving for something like Boss Monster, or at least with the same theme and art, but that you were going to be able to play it solo, with an official solo mode. And Overboss, once again, even if it's very different to Boss Monster, because Boss Monster is a card game, and this is a tile placement game, now it gives you the solo mode with the same art, you know, the same universe, different monsters, and it's just, you know, a very unique game. I don't want to spoil you and tell you, you know, my thoughts on the game, because I already played it 5 times solo and like 4 times competitive. I played it 2, 3, and 4 players already. And so far, I will tell you, I guess the only spoil that I will tell you is that I like it. But I want to tell you all about it, like everything, all the different aspects in a very, very, very near episode. In a very near episode, just because some of you reach out to me and you request that episode, and I will do it for all of you. But just so you know, I've been playing Overboss. I also play another very interesting card game, which I need to give credit to Martin Gonsalves. He's very famous on the solo board gaming universe, especially on the Solo Board Gamers Facebook group. And, well, he recommended a game over there that is called Terminator Dark Fate, which is the based on the most recent movie on the Terminator universe, right? And, of course, you see Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's still in every one of them, I believe, except on the Christian Bale one. I don't think he's there. But anyway, this is a Terminator deck building game. Me, personally, I'm a huge, you know, fan of the first two movies, and I grew up with them, and I still love the theme. I still want to get my hands on some of the Terminator's board games that they are out there, but I wanted to try this one since it was only, I think, like $14 on the online website that we all know around the world. So I got a copy from there, and I played the game, and it's actually, I wasn't expecting anything, first of all. Nothing. I mean, I thought, like, you know, $13, $14 game with a big movie license. And then I saw in the pictures that the art was basically pictures from the movie. But anyway, I brought the game to the table. I bought it. And it's actually a solid deck building game. It works very similar to most of the deck building games. I mean, that's not a surprise, right? You get 5 cards on your hand. You get to play them. You get resources. You get some damage points there. With the resources, you can buy cards from the middle of the table. With the damage, you can hit some bad guys. So in this way, in this game, they're called hostile cards or attack cards. Or also, you can damage the main bad guy, which is another Terminator, of course. And you know, from that point of view, it's very straightforward. The interesting mechanic, though, is that that bad guy that you need to kill, you don't have to search for it too long, because basically, when you set up the game, you get a humongous amount of cards that they will find. They will form the big pile where you're gonna be, you know, drawing cards and getting more cards in order to for you to buy and stuff. Well, he will be hitting on the top 5 cards, and after you play your turn. You know, you can buy your cards and attacks, and make attacks like I told you to different cards that are going to be there. Then, all the cards that you buy, this is the interesting mechanic, you can place them either in your discard pile, like every deck building, or you can place it in another player discard pile. So that's good because, I mean, I don't remember in any other game seeing that, you know, where you can buy games for, buy cards for other players. That's cool because, you know, sometimes what happens in deck building games is that on your turn, you don't see the card that you want and the other player see it and vice versa. Well, in this one, you can actually buy it and put it on his discard pile. That's another way also that you can filter kind of your discard pile or make everybody discard pile kind of, you know, even or powerful. So in that aspect, the games, the game works awesome in the cooperative way or in a cooperative aspect. Then what is interesting is after you do your phase, you're going to be replenished up until you have four cards on the main market, I guess let's call it. And then you have the option to keep drawing cards. So that's another way that you can be searching for more cards or a particular card that you're looking for or a type of card that you want to get. Now, the catch thing is that if you reveal the bad guy, the Terminator, by drawing these cards, because remember, he was on the top five, then he's going to hunt you. And he's going to activate all the basically enemy cards that are on the market, right? Then on future turns, you're going to be able to do some damage. But while he's there, he's not going to allow you to look for more cards because he's basically hunting you and all the time, just like in the movie, right? Very thematic. In case you haven't seen Terminator Dark Fate, it's just like the other movies. The bad Terminator is hunting the good guys. Anyway, so once you do certain damage to that Terminator, then when it comes again to the hunt phase, then you can take that damage away. Let's say you have done 5 damage. You can take those 5 damage away and get that Terminator card shuffle in the top 5 cards because you will shuffle in the cards that they are the equivalent to amount of damage that you took away from him. In that way, you can basically put him again there. In that way, you can get more time to buy better powerful cards or more powerful cards. In that way, you can try to make some damage. So those mechanics, I found them very unique. It's a very solid deck building game. I don't think it's anything that, wow, you know, and we're not talking about a discovery like an Aeon's End or something like that. But it's a very solid, fun game that for the price, you know, it works well. Especially, I would suggest this game for you know, if you're going to play it 2 players or even 3 players. I don't see me playing myself this game like with 4 players. Or solo works fantastic. There's 2 downsides from the game for me. The quality of the cards, it's awful. I understand $14, but come on. I mean, the it's like almost like paper. So the quality of the cards, that's one big negative aspect of the game. And the other thing is that the art on the game, I mean, I don't have anything against photographs, you know, from the movies. I mean, there's some cool examples. For example, I really love James Bond Legendary Deck Building Game, and I think the pictures are cool. But on this game, it's like basically they just took like random scenes and just put them on there. Like not even like trying to choose the best ones and, you know, best angles or something. Like no, just literally like, okay, this picture, we need a box. Oh, there's a box in scene number 12. Okay, grab that box. Oh, we need a picture of a gun. Okay, you know, probably most of the scenes of the movie have guns. Well, let's grab that random guy armed with a gun. You know, let's use that picture. We need a picture of supplies. Well, you know, let's use a picture when he opens the closet and there's a lot of supplies there. So just like that, very, very random pictures, nothing artistic or anything like that. So that's another downside for me. Other than that, I mean, if you are willing to spend that amount of money and try a good, solid game, solid deck building game that you can play any place very well solo, then, I mean, definitely try it. I mean, once again, it's a solid deck building game that I don't regret buying it. And I had a good, you know, adventure with it. And I played a couple of times. I found it sometimes easy, sometimes it was more harder. I guess it was very lucky based on the shuffling of the cards. But once again, I recommend it. I mean, just take it for what it is, Terminator Dark Fate, the deck building game. I also play another very interesting game from Floodgate Games, I think it's called. It's called Holy Festival of Colors. Now, don't take my information for sure, but I believe, and I hope I'm not doing any mistake, Holi is a festival from India that it's around March, and I think it's how they celebrate spring, and they basically throw colors at, you know, I don't know if at each other, but they throw colors on the streets and stuff, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful, very artistic. The meaning of it, it's amazing. You know, the welcome from spring, good vibes and all that stuff. So that's fantastic. My wife was very interested in this game because she saw a couple of videos and she saw the three-dimensional board. So we bought this game blindly. I went to my favorite local gaming store here in Indianapolis, Indiana, which is Game Preserve South. Game Preserve South, amazing guys over there if you're locally here or if you live near to Indianapolis, Indiana. Anyway, we went over there. They didn't have the game. They ordered the game for us. Always, always support local gaming stores. It could be easier for me just to go to, you know, Amazon.com and get the game, but you know, I prefer to support the gaming store. So they order it for me, they had it in a week, and then we try it. And it's a beautiful, beautiful abstract area control game. If those are your type of games and this is kind of your cup of tea, then this is a game that you want to try. And basically, I mean, for the setup, you set up this 3D board, which has three different levels. Very sturdy, very good quality. It's not. I was afraid of, like, every time that I assembled the board and disassembled the board, it was going to, you know, get kind of like, you know, weaker every time. And it was going to probably, you know, waste the cardboard components of the game and stuff. No, it actually is very sturdy and it works great. The plastics are from Game Trace and it has a nice, you know, area for everything on the box once you put it back. And basically what you're trying is you're trying to imitate the festival in India, you know, which is throwing colors at your opponents and placing colors on every level on those three levels of the board. And every level where you throw colors is going to give you different points, just like the ground level is going to give you 1 point, second level, 2 points for each color that you have there, third level, 3 points for each color that you have there. As well, you have rivalry cards, that those are rivalry cards are going to be shuffled, and then we're going to reveal two at the beginning of the game that they can give points in different ways. There's also a very interesting mechanic when you can throw color at your opponents, like I mentioned before, and those also will give you points, but that also is going to cost that your color tokens are going to be in the opponent supply area. So at the end of the games, you're going to get points from those color tokens that are on the other player's supply area. So that's very cool. And actually, the game is cute. It's beautiful. It's very artistic. It's very abstract. I mean, the theme is there definitely, but it's very abstract. And the components are great quality. We play a couple of times, my wife and I, 20 minutes. Then we try it with another couple of friends. We were four players. It lasts 25 to 30 minutes. Super fast. You know, the game ends either. You're going to have color cards that you're going to play every turn that you have to play one every turn. And those color cards basically will tell you where your color tokens are going to be on the board. And you kind of, it has like a very puzzly mechanic, like when you can switch the card to any, I guess, to any aspect in that way, or to any rotation in that way, you can play the color tokens as you wish. Kind of like similar mechanic to Tiny Towns, if that makes sense. And then you're going to place your color tokens. And the game, once you finish with those 13 power or color cards, then the game end triggers for you and you're done with your game. And as soon as everybody either doesn't have any cards or they don't have more colors on their supply, then the game ends and we just score points. Once again, 1 point for first level, 2 points second level, 3 points third level, then tokens on opposite player pools. And also there's some tokens that you can pick during the game that they're called sweet tokens, and whoever has the most get 5 points, plus any rivalry cards that you place at the beginning of the game, they can also give you end points. Points at the end of the game. So at the end, whoever has more points is the winner. And that's Holy once again. It's a great game. I highly recommend it if you are able to play games with your couple or your significant other or with your brother, sister, mom, dad. If you have any other player in your household and if you like area control and you like abstract games, then definitely give it a try to Holy from Floodgate Games. Great game. I had a great experience with it. My wife and I, we like it a lot and we are looking forward to play it even more. I also play again on Match. I talked about this on the previous episode. Fantastic game. And I also brought to the table Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles: The Change is Constant from IDW. because I'm trying to finish my campaign in order to keep going through the Kickstarter boxes that I have there and more campaigns, and going to Cityfall and, you know, and a lot of other adventures and campaigns that I need to keep going. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles: The Change is Constant. It was my favorite cooperative adventure game from 2020. So you get the idea. It's basically a fantastic dungeon crawler. I already dedicated an episode to it, especially on that top five cooperative board games of 2020. So if you want to check it out. But basically, it's a dungeon crawler where you and the turtles, or you play with your favorite turtles, the four main heroes. You can bring Casey Jones, you can bring Master Splinter, whoever you want. You're going to have a comic adventure that you're going to be following that is based on the IDW comics, with their very mature, I guess, and darkish than, you know, what we all remember from the cartoons from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So very different, though, but very interesting. And I just love it. I love the theme. I love the game. That sharing dice mechanic, I love it as well. The game is designed by Pete Walsh and Daniel Landowski, based on the engine mechanic of Shadows of the Past of Kevin Wilson. I have to say, though, that most recently, Pete Walsh has, stepped aside from IDW. So now I guess he's going to pursue independent projects, where we wish him all the best luck. I mean, Pete Walsh is a great friend, and he's always very active still on the Facebook groups from the game. In that way, if you have any rules, questions, or stuff like that, you know, he can always ask you. Because one of the things that really hurts this game is the rule book. The rule book is not very well written, and there's a few typos on different cards. But Pete has been very actively, you know, responding to everybody and making sure that all the rules can be understandable. And also, I want to recommend a great video, a great tutorial video that it was released 4 months ago from Learn to Play Games. I think the host is named Lance. And Learn to Play Games did a fantastic, fantastic 30-minute tutorial with most of the clarifications of all the rules, mistakes or confusing rules. He did a great video. I actually saw it before I played it again this last week, and it was great. And Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, once again, for me, I mean, it's a fantastic game. I'm excitedly waiting for this year to receive the Kickstarter from the Batman, the animated series, which is in the same universe as the IDW adventure system. And in that way, I can mix match the Turtles and Batman. I already dedicated a whole episode to this on my top five on 2020. So there you go. There is, once again, pictures on the social media. And if you like, after you listen to this one, you can go and check that episode as well. I also play Everdale again. Everdale, there's a big fuss right now, right? I feel like we need to dedicate a huge episode to Everdale. Why? Because the Kickstarter campaign that is going on. People are going crazy. Some people, it's really bothering them that they people can get the whole collection of the game for $200 American. When, you know, and including myself, not that I'm upset, no, I include myself that I have spent more than that to get all the Everdale collection. But in my opinion, I think, you know, hey, if the game can reach to more people, and, you know, it doesn't affect me that, you know, I spend $300 and then 2 or 3 years down the road, you spend $200 to get everything or the same amount of what I got or even more. We see that on the consoles as well. For example, the PlayStation 5 right now, it's out of stock everywhere and it's expensive and it doesn't come with anything. But I can see 3 or 4 years down the road, you're going to see those bundles on the stores where you're going to get the PlayStation 5 instead of $500 for $300. And it will include, I don't know, another Uncharted collection or two games or something like that. And it's, you know, it's fair. I mean, we have been enjoying Everdale already for 2 or 3 years. And whoever jumps in this Kickstarter is going to have to wait another year. So that will make it like 3 to 4 years, you know, to get the game more affordable, where all these players, including myself, we already got it. I remember I got it on Gen Con 2000. Was it 18 or 19? I think it was 19. Yeah. So let's say 19. I played on 19, I played on 20, I'm going to play it on 2021, so that was 3 years, and backers are going to receive it, let's say summer 2022, so that's almost 4 years after, right, after the first Everdale. So, you know, that's my opinion, right, and there's this big fuss, but anyway, I jumped into the Kickstarter for the two expansions that they're releasing with the big box, and I wanted to play the game again on the solo mode, especially to see if it really hold that gameplay aspect from it, that fuss, right? I played again solo base game, no expansion, just solo base game, and I actually like it a lot again. I think it's well balanced. I think it's you know, it works great. I had fun solo, and I mean, I definitely recommend it. That's it. I feel like, you know, some people have been talking about it around social media and talking about the Everdell game more like a luxury game. And I have to agree. I mean, honestly, I have to agree. Because think about it. With $200, I mean, first of all, if you spend more than $100 on a game, I think that's a luxury. And I know because I spend it myself as well. You know, so that's for sure. Now, if you're going to spend $200... talking about the game experience that Everdell gives you, I don't think it's worth it. $200. Does that make sense? For the gameplay that Everdell gives you. Now, if you're like me, that at this point I'm a fan of the game because of the components, because of the art, because of the theme, because how chill and cute and nice, you know, nicely visual aspect of the game on the table, the 3D tree, you know, and all the stuff, the components, quality, everything, then if it's a luxury that you can afford, just go for it. Does that make sense? I mean, for example, I feel like if I'm going to spend $200 for a game that it's worth it, you know, gameplay-wise, I mean, I don't know. I guess I would go with it. I mean, you know, you will get the whole collection of Anachrony. Let's say that's a masterpiece worker placement game. I mean, of course, very different because it's the complexity level is very different. But you get the idea of what I'm trying to say, right? Or like if you jump into Nemesis, like I did, you know, the all-in. Well, you're spending $300 for the all-in, but I mean, gameplay-wise, supposedly you will get a very immersive epicness experience with tons of stuff. Wherever they'll, I think, in my opinion, and we have to be honest and neutral, I love the game, but I don't think it's worth it. I don't think the amount of money that I have spent on that game is worth it on gameplay-wise. I mean, once again, on the game. And just that, I just wanted to throw it out there. I really like the solo mode. I actually probably, once I finish recording this episode, I'm going to try one of the expansions solo. But I just wanted to throw it out there, you know, that it is what it is, and and yeah, it's a great game, but I think it's a luxury. I had to agree with a lot of people over there. And, you know, and right now, if you don't care about the new expansions, probably this will be a good time for you to check it out on eBay or on the Facebook group, because a lot of people are selling their games with their expansions that they already have for $150, $180. And I know that if you wait another year and give $200, well, you will get more stuff. But right now, it's a good time to probably get a good deal on the even the collector's edition. I mean, people are going crazy selling the collector's edition with everything. I saw a post the other day. He was selling ever the collector's edition with two of the expansions. Collector's edition, Balefire never came with the collector's editions. Basically, everything that is out so far. And he was asking $100 or $120. And I was like, oh my god, that's a great deal for somebody. I mean, you will buy it right now. You don't have to wait another year or so, and you will get most of everything, and even the collector's edition, just because probably that person wants to jump in for the $200 in that way they can get everything. So, I mean, yes, they're offering the wooden tree. I kind of wanted the wooden tree, but at the same time, I mean, the cardboard tree works just fine. I mean, it works great. So there you go. Everdell, the luxury of Everdell and the cuteness of Everdell. Great game. Nothing super fantastic, impressive, just great game with beautiful components, beautiful theme, beautiful art. And I think that's what you're paying for. That's more than the gameplay. You're paying more for the art and for the components and for the theme and for the cuteness and for the fear of missing out, I guess, if you want to call it that way as well. So with that being said, I mean, I want to keep going because the episode, it's already almost 30 minutes and we haven't started to talk about the game. I also play Side solo, fantastic. Get the app, Sidekick, highly recommended. Side is one of my favorite games ever. Okay, and now, after, you know, we talk about many games and many things like Everdell and Kickstarter and stuff, let's talk about this episode game. Once again, Toy Story Obstacles and Adventures, a cooperative deck building game. You know, the license, of course, by Disney Pixar, and it's published by USAopoly or the OP. You know, their most recent, I guess, name. It's been a couple of years now. And we're going to review it. I have the box here, and we're going to talk about every aspect of the game. So with that being said, let's jump into our first section of the show. Box and cover. Alrighty, so for the box and cover section, Toy Story, Obstacles, Adventures, Obstacles and Adventures, a cooperative deck building game. On the main cover, you get Woody, Buzz Lightyear, and of course, all the other characters from Toy Story on the sides of the box as well. And once again, Toy Story, Obstacles and Adventures, a cooperative deck building game. It plays 8 euro plus. It's 2 to 5 players, and then on the back of the box size is very similar to the Harry Potter one, the deck building game as well. Very like it's gonna be probably like 10 by 13 or so. So you know, small box, and then on the back of the game you have a sample of the components that you're gonna find inside, and kind of like the setup of the game, how the board is gonna look, and it tells you put yourselves in the shoes and hat or suit of your favorite Toy Story heroes to jump into 6 fun-filled adventures, each player with your unique collection of cards, and to help of courageous friends from all the 4 films. A strategy using special items and traits to work together through dangers and keep hazards from putting an end to a victorious play time. And you have the different components, once again, that you're going to see inside that we're going to talk in a little bit once we start with the next section of the show, which is Inside the Box. Inside the Box. Alrighty, so now it's time for our audio unboxing. And the first thing we're going to find inside the box, it's a fantastic, and when I say it's a fantastic rule book, and I say fantastic because it is. Why? Because it's very simple. It's only an... Let me open it here because, of course, I have it here. It's only 14 double-sided pages, and a 15 one where is when you're going to be attaching more rules as you are discovering your adventures. Another thing that I like from the rulebook is that it feels very cardboard-ish, very good quality, and great, you know, very straightforward. You don't need to go anywhere. No board game geek, no YouTube, nothing to learn how to play. The rule book is very straightforward, which once again, to be fair, the game is very simple. But at the same time, there are some simple games that the rule books are just bad. This one is great. So that's a big plus already to the OP or USAopoly. They give you the setup, you know, the gameplay, you know, additional rules. And then at the end of the rule book, you also have different areas where you're going to be placing new rules, once again, as you're discovering your adventures, and also a score track. In that way, you can track your adventures, you know, who play with you, which toys you use, if you win or you lose, and different notes and stuff. So that's cool to keep, you know, the adventure going in that way if you want to track your adventures. And this is a cooperative game that you will take one of the roles of the favorite Toy Story characters. And the objective of the game is to play cooperatively as the toys. You win the game if you overcome all the hazards before the moving van token reaches the end of the adventure track, thereby transferring all the toys safely to Andy's new home. However, if moving the van tokens reach the end of the track, some of the toys were misplaced along the way and you all lose the game. So it's 5 players, but You need to keep in mind that for the first game, you only play 4 players, right? Because there's going to be a character that it didn't come to play until the second movie. And of course, you know who I'm talking about, right? You're going to play with Woody. You're going to want to play with Rex. You can play with Buzz Lightyear. You can play with, what is her name? I always forget her name. You know, the farm lady, I guess, Woody's girlfriend. And then you can play with the cowgirl that I also forgot her name. Why I'm doing this? Let me see. I have the cards here in that way. Jesse, you can play with Jesse on the second movie because, of course, she didn't come out until the second movie. And Bo Peep, you can start with her in the first movie as well. Because the game is going to have, you know, all the different cardboard characters play mat, which they're great quality. Double-sided with the beautiful art of Toy Story in the back and then with the character side on the front. And each character top low is going to have a health track, which also areas for the two different components. One is the resource, or you know, kind of like imagination, I think it's called, and the other one for insights, which is where you can call, where you can use those insights to try to overcome the bad guys on the game, I guess, the bad situations. Then you're going to have different boxes on the game, Adventure 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Ideally, is that you're playing through the whole four movies. That's the whole idea. And as you keep progressing, the game start to get more complex, and I won't spoil you anything, but you start to discover different mechanics now. You start to discover different components, different cards that you can use as you progress on your game. Then you get the insight tokens, you get the imagination tokens, I think they're called. One nice thing, though, is that you have dividers. So in that way, once you open one adventure, you don't have to put everything back. You just can start to set up the game for next time. And once you finish the whole six adventures, you can basically have everything sorted out. In that way, you can just play a random adventure or make your own adventure, and you can have fun. Depends on the difficulty that you want to play. Besides that, you're going to get before spoiling you too much, on the adventure box number one, you're going to get cards that they're going to form each character's deck. Once again, everybody except Jesse. Jesse doesn't come and play until the second movie. Now, if you want to play with five players right away, right out of the box, then you can open both boxes, Adventure 1 and 2, and read through the rule books, read through the different things that they're going to offer you, and then you can play the game. You get also a very nice, and I said a very nice because it's beautiful, you know, board, where on the back it has, once again, that cloudy art from Toy Story, and even has the big logo, Toy Story Obstacles and Adventures. And then as you open it, you will see that it has all the sections that you're going to use to play the game. You know, all the different, where you're going to place the cards that you can buy, which is the obstacles and adventure cards. Where you're going to place the hazard cards. Where you're going to place another little board where it's going to be, once again, tracking the van at the van road as it's reaching the new Andy's new home. And you want to make sure that you win the game before that house is reached, right? Which we're going to talk about in a little bit in our next section, which is the gameplay section. But anyway, you get the idea that the board has a designated space for everything. And with that being said, I guess this is a good time to jump and talk about how the game plays, tell you a little bit more of how the round works, how the components work, and then I will share my thoughts with you. So let's go to our next section. Gameplay! Are you looking for that Kickstarter game that you missed during the Kickstarter campaign? Are you looking for that awesome and mythic expansion for one of your favorite board games? Are you sad because you didn't got the Kickstarter version of that game? Or perhaps you are like me and like to get a game with Kickstarter exclusive components and stretch goals? Well, don't look any further and go right now to KickstarterGames.com. There, you will find Kickstarter board games, expansions, Kickstarter exclusive content, graphic novels, RPG novels, toys and collectibles, and much more. Kickstarter Games is my favorite site to go and get those amazing games that I want to have on my gaming collection. Plus, they offer free shipping in the US when you spend $99 or more. And if that wasn't enough, right now you can get a 15% off if you use the code SOLOBG. That's right, use the code SOLOBG all together and obtain 15% off from your total purchase. So go right now and check it out while you listen to this episode. Once again, www.kickstartergames.com, and enjoy all those amazing games. Okay, so the first thing you're going to do to start the game is the setup, of course. You're going to place the main board in the center on the table. Then you're going to place the track for that adventure. Once again, for adventure number one, it's based on Toy Story, the first one, number one. And the idea is that it's going to be a track, and it's going to be a token that is going to represent the van. and you're going to be moving the van along the road until you reach the Andy's new home. And different things are going to be triggering that token to advance. You're going to place that board, play the token, and then you're going to give a shuffle to the Danger or Gamma Sector 4 cards. Those ones, you're going to place them face down. Then you're also going to grab the Playtime with Sid card. Well, I don't remember if it's the Playtime with Sid card, but it's basically the end game card from Sid, of course, that kid that we used to hate a lot. You're going to place it face down at the bottom, and then other three, enemy cards, you're going to shuffle them and place them on top of that one. Then you're going to reveal the first one, which is the one that is going to determine the condition for that game until you are able to overcome that card. Then, of course, there's another area where you're going to have like a market of cards, and you're going to give it a shuffle to that deck of cards, and you're going to reveal the top six, and it's going to have, once again, their designated spaces on the board. They're also going to have a cost from imagination that you have to spend in order to get those cards. Now, on your turn, like, of course, you're going to start with the starter deck for Woody. Let's say I play with Woody and Rex. One starter deck for Woody, one starter deck for Rex. I shuffle those decks, and then I reveal the five cards. Then I can play my cards, and my cards can give me imagination points, which, once again, with those ones, I can buy cards from the main market. And the other cards are gonna give me insight tokens. And with those insight tokens, I can start to place them on the current, hazard area. In that way, I can try to overcome that hazard. Now, that hazard usually is going to have a value 5, 6, 7, or 8. And once that hazard is reached, then we're going to get a reward and we reveal another one and so on and so forth until we reach to that final card with Sith. In that way, we can overcome that as well. Now, we're going to have a hell track as well on our mats. And if that hell track at some point reaches 0, you don't lose, but you have to shuffle your deck again. Basically, you lost resources, you lost cards, you have to discard cards. You get like a crappy turn, and then basically that's what it is. Also, it makes the van or the track token to advance one space further. And once again, if it reaches that new home, Andy's new home, well, you're going to lose the game. Also, a very interesting mechanic is that once again, every time before your turn starts, you're going to reveal the top card from the Danger cards deck, and that card usually is going to hit you, either hit you for 2 damage or makes the van advance on the track as well. So that's another way that the game can end. And once again, you're going to keep playing like that, buying cards, playing 5 cards, drawing 5 cards, buying more cards and using your insight. In that way, you can try to overcome each hazard stage until you reach out to Sith, and then you will win the game if you're able to overcome Sith. And if that happens before Andy gets to their new home, well, then all the toys are safe, I guess. And actually, that's basically how it is. Now, the game will be evolving, and there's more components that I don't want to spoil you. But once you finish with Adventure 1 and 2, let's say, then you're going to open box number 3, and it's going to give you more cards. It's going to give you, probably, like it does in the box number 2, another different track. Because if you remember in Toy Story 2, everything the big part of the movie evolves on the airport, right? So on the board on the movie too, there's an airport track with an airport token. I'm sorry, with the airplane token, and then that one is the one that is going to be moving. So you get the idea. You will get new components, new stuff, different rules. That the rule book has the space in that way. You can, stick them every time that you get new rules. A legacy game, which is not a legacy game, but similar idea. In that way, at the end, once you play through the whole 6 adventures, you have a completely different game that, once again, you can adjust the difficulty and you can play with all the rules and different mechanics components. I see on the box that there's some dice. I don't want to spoil you, but there's different components or mechanics that are gonna come and be part of your gameplay as you keep progressing on the game. So with that being said, this is basically the gameplay. If you play solo, it's fully cooperative. You play with 2 players and nothing changes, to be honest with you. That's the way that I play it. There's no special rules or anything like that. The only variant that you can use if you want to play hardcore, and this is a solo BG podcast variant, is that If you want to make the game more difficult, you can make the home rule that if one of the characters reaches zero on the hell track, well, you lose the game. That's it. That's the Solo BG podcast variant. So with that being said, let's go into our next section, which is where I share my thoughts and tell you if I rather play this game solo or cooperative.
Solo or cooperative.
Alrighty, Toy Story, Obstacles and Adventure. The deck building game, a cooperative deck building game from the USopoly. Ugh. Do I rather play this game solo or cooperative? Well, before that, let me tell you this. Let's talk about the components. Components! Top-notch, fantastic, beautiful, amazing components that the OP gives on this game. One of the things, and this is me, this is Derek Peaky talking. You know, I am not a huge fan of punching all the tokens from the cardboards when you get a new game. I know some people love it. I know some people need it. I know some people want it. But I'm not a huge fan. I actually don't like it at all. And I always ask my wife for help. And also because, you know, I mean, I can fill out a huge, you know, trash can just by opening two games or something. So you get the idea. In this game, oh my God, I don't know who was with the brilliant idea of give you all the tokens or everything already punched and you get them in a Ziploc bag. There you go. You don't have to deal with that. It's already there. So that's fantastic. Card quality. Oof, great. It's just great. I mean, this is a game that you might want to sleeve because of what I'm going to tell you in a little bit. But if you don't want to, you don't have to. They're nice quality. They're a little bit shiny. That's great, and it feels great to the on the touch. So that's fantastic. The cardboard for every player or their main, you know, tableau. I guess it's great. Great art, of course, from the movies, and very sturdy. I'm knocking here on one. Very sturdy, and it's just great. The art on the cards is fantastic. The art on the hazard cards, on the danger cards, the van token metallic one. It's great, and the components are great. Now, let's talk about the gameplay. The gameplay is very simple, right? It's very, very, very simple. You know, like I said, I explained everything on our previous section. This is not a deck building that it will offer you something different, something new, per se, because you get the same, I will say it's 60% or 70% of the same core mechanic that they did with the Harry Potter's Hogwarts battle. But at the same time, I think that it works better with this Toy Story theme. I actually do. I'm not a huge fan of Harry Potter, and I prefer Toy Story. It's not like I'm a huge fan of Toy Story either, but I was probably, what, like, I want to say like 10 or 11 years old when the first Toy Story came out, and I have great memories of Toy Story 1 and Toy Story 2. I mean, growing up, even when I hit that age and I was a teenager already, and I believe Toy Story 3 came out, I mean, it was great. And I still enjoy those movies. I mean, I watched the last one as an adult and I enjoy it. And I don't have any problem watching them again. It's just great. I think it really holds up, you know, the quality of the movies, everything, the voice acting, the music. I mean, I feel like Disney was like a different era before Toy Story and after Toy Story. So this is a great theme. I think most of us will like it. And the only thing for this game, though, is that once again, it can kind of trick you if you think that it's a legacy game, because it's not at all. And I say this because of all the different adventures that you will open as the Harry Potter one. Because one difference, for example, between the Harry Potter and this one is that, if I remember correctly, the Harry Potter one, kind of you had to put everything on the boxes again, in that way you could see which movie you want to play, versus this one that at the end you have the dividers for everything and you can basically play a whole adventure very random with, you know, different enemies and stuff, and make it harder or easier on yourself or on your friends, you know, to play this game. So that's a very cool thing from Toy Story. I think the theme once again works, and the mechanic works better with this one. But at the same time, I don't feel like this is basically a reskin, you know, a retheme basic game. I think this feels very different than the Harry Potter at the same time. So that's very cool. Once again, components are good. Replayability, though, I'm a little bit not concerned, because this is where I want to talk to you. This game, it's a great game, and I can see it like being the perfect gateway or the perfect entry level for 8-year-old, 9-year-old, 10-year-old, 11-year-old, 12-year-old kids to start, or even a little bit older, to start with a deck building game. I also think that this is a perfect gateway level for people that they have no idea of the hobby, and they just, you know, you invite them over for a night and you want to show them a deck building game, and probably they don't even know what you're talking about. Well, this is a game that, you know, it will be easier. It will be very, very, very easy for anybody to play, but mostly for kids because, of course, the art, the theme and stuff. So I think this is a perfect game if you have kids, or if you have nephews or nieces or something that you want to bring onto the hobby, and you, or you would like for them to play with you in the future. I think this is a game that definitely will be a great gateway, you know, for them, and a very awesome entry level for them, because they will love the art and they will love the mechanics of it and playing together, and, you know, grow that bond together as the toys do on the movies. It's just great for that theme. Now, regarding if I want to play this game solo or cooperative, I think this game actually works pretty well solo. I played it solo already multiple times, and I enjoy it. I mean, I played, you know, double-handed, Woody and Rex, that's it, baby. I like Woody and Rex. Rex is probably one of my favorite characters, you know, and I just knock myself out, and I have fun, and I played through the movies and stuff. And actually, I was afraid, you know, when I opened this game, I was like, the first time I was like, oh, man, I hope it's not like a very childish game and, you know, I will get bored. And no, I was having a blast so playing it solo. And then I played it with my wife. She actually liked it a lot as well, because she also liked the movies as well. Of course, who doesn't? And, you know, I played it with some of our couple of friends, because they have kids. We don't have kids yet, but they have kids. And we show it to them, and they were, you know, they were mind-blowed by, you know, the different art and stuff they wanted to play. Even the 3 or 4 year old little kid, she wanted to play as well, but of course she's not there yet, but she at least wanted to grab the cards and stuff. And this is where you probably want to sleep the cards, you're going to play it with kids, because of course, you know, just to keep them safe. Now, if you don't care, well, that's fine. I mean, you know, that's what the games are for, you know, to get used, I guess. So that's just my input on there. I can see definitely, you know, bringing this game, me, myself, with my niece and nephew. I'm in Indiana. They're in Texas. But, of course, I'm going to bring this game next time I'm going to Texas, just to try to show it to them. Or if, when they came here to Indiana, I'm definitely, this is a game that I would try to bring to the table. Because even if, let's say, they don't understand the game completely, it will be a good entry level, and it will be something fun for them. So probably next time they come, as they keep getting older, they will be like, hey, uncle, we want to play a game. We want to play a game. And imagine that, like every time that they come, if I'm going to be playing games, oof, that's even better for me. So you get the idea, and I'm pretty sure you, my friend, on the other side of the speaker is in the same page. So there you go. That's my review on Toy Story. Do I rather play solo or cooperative? Probably cooperative. Probably a little bit more cooperative, just because of the theme, because of the bond, because of Toy Story, because everybody loves Toy Story, and, you know, we will have fun. That aspect will probably, you know, push me a little bit more towards play it cooperative. Now, game-wise, mechanic-wise, strictly mechanic-wise, game-wise, I think this game plays perfectly solo, and you won't have any issue with that. So, with that being said, if you like the theme, once again, that I will be surprised if you don't, if you like the theme and you have kids around, then this is definitely a game that I will tell you, get it. I will place it at must have from Solo BG Podcast. If you don't have kids around, if you're like me and you don't have kids around, well, it will depend how much you love the theme, to be honest with you. And if you put me to choose between this one and the Harry Potter, I will probably choose all the time this one better. This one, for sure. I think the Toy Story is way better. I think it works great. I think it feels better. And I think it actually adds more replayability than the Harry Potter one. So with that being said, I have to give this game, for what it is, strongly and solid 3.5. You know, I think it's a solid game. It's a fun game that it will stay on my collection. Once again, I put that big disclosure that if you have kids around, this is a must-have, because it will be an entry level. And if you don't, then it's going to be a 3.5. And it's great. If you add it to your collection, I'm pretty sure that you're going to keep it. If you don't add it, then I will encourage you to give it a try. And mine, it will stay in my collection just because I'm pretty sure that I will be able to play this game with kids and with non-kids as well. Population, that means us, the adults, right? So anyway, this was a Toy Story episode, Obstacles and Adventures, a cooperative deck building game. I hope you enjoyed it. Once again, please visit kickstartedgames.com to get 15% off with code SOLOBG. Thank you so much for all your support. Thank you so much for everything you do for the podcast. Thank you for your likes, for your subscribing, for your sharing, for your ratings, for your comments. Everything counts. So thank you so much. And like always, remember,
for victory, go tell your friends.
Till next time, see you through the speaker and at the tabletop.